handout there. I'm giving you a four-week challenge. We're in the third week. Next week will be our fourth week to memorize Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. How many are you working on that? Anybody ready to do it yet? Well, I know my wife's working on it because she's got it posted on the kitchen sink. of course, I need to... Let's see, did I wash the dishes this week? I think I washed my hands there a couple of times. I need to put my glasses on to read it, though. Proverbs chapter number 3, we've talked about already in verses number 1 through 4. I'm just kind of giving you an outline. Verses 1 through 4, we talked about the importance of the Bible, of hearing the Lord, and then prayer. Verse number 5 through 8, to trust in the Lord. I've been asking if anybody has Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for their life verse. And believe it or not, I was on a bicycle ride last week, there was the park benches along the bike path that I was on, and I had different names in memory of so-and-so, and there was a name, husband and wife, evidently, and then underneath it was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. There's somebody that has Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for a life verse, but that's talking about prayer, verses 5 through 8. And trusting in the Lord, and then worship, honoring the Lord. In verse number 9 through 12, we covered those last times. A memory verse from last week. Can anybody say it in front of everybody? You said it to somebody already. Some of you have said it in private to someone already. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verses number 7 and 8. Our verse for this week. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 13. Verse number 13 of Proverbs 3, let's read it together. Proverbs 3, 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3, 13. Well, let's read it again, and I'm going to keep reading down through verse number 18. Proverbs 3, 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3, 13. Now, that's a nice short verse, isn't it? Everybody ought to be able to get that. I'm encouraging you to memorize down through verse number 18 if we take one section at a time. Beginning of verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and of all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Am I on here yet? Okay, I'm back away from that, and you can still hear me all right. Proverbs 3, verse 13 through 18. Now, we talked about already the importance of the Bible and the prayer and the worship. And tonight we're going to talk about happiness. And let me just say this. When I speak of happiness, I use it in a biblical context and meaning, not the cheap language that we use today. And the way the word happiness is used today is, as long as something's happening, I'm all right. It's far different than what the world, than what the Bible refers to as happiness or blessedness. Maybe a closer word that we're used to today is the word joy. In fact, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes before we get into the outline of these verses, the difference between biblical joy and earthly happiness. Now, the words are used the same in the Bible, but we hear the word happiness, we think of the way we use it in the world today. We say this, first of all, happiness is circumstantial. Joy is supernatural. Joy is supernatural. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are, either way. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Doesn't matter if anything's happening or bad things are happening. You can still have the joy and happiness of the Lord today. And secondly, happiness is external. And joy is, anybody want to guess? Internal. The opposite. It comes from within the presence of the Lord. Jacob, you're paying attention here, right? You don't have a paper or a pen. You need to write on top of it. What? Oh, there it is. I'm just looking at him. Hey, good morning. I was giving him a hard time, but that's all right. Sometimes people need a hard time once in a while. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. Happiness is temporal, and joy is, you want to guess? Eternal. Happiness ends. As far as the world goes, well, when things are going good, we're happy. When things are going bad, we're not so happy. But if we've got the joy of the Lord, the blessing, the happiness, or the joy of the Lord, as it's used in the Bible, it just gets better all the time. And even in difficult times, we can rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord just in the good times, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we can do that if we know the joy of the Lord. So many people are bound by their circumstances today instead of truly walking with the Lord. What brings blessing to the true believer? We could turn there. I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do on Wednesday night when the kids are in here. I have a couple of ideas, and one of them is the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not sure if that's actually the third one down the list. I haven't decided for sure. Time's getting close. I'm going to have to decide before too long. But the Sermon on the Mount starts with what we call the Beatitudes. That's the attitudes you ought to be having, right? Is that what Beatitudes mean? The blessedness, the joy, what brings true happiness? And I'm just going to read it to you in Matthew 5, verse 3 through 12. Blessed are happy, joyful are the poor in spirit. Now that, as far as the world's concerned, it doesn't bring much joy to be poor. But to be poor in spirit is the key to being blessed of God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And then the one that God spends the most time on is interesting, is this one. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Anybody enjoy being persecuted? Now, we live in America. We don't really know what real hunger is. We don't really know what real persecution is. But we face persecution to a degree, to an extent. It's not something that we look forward to. It's not something we joy in. But God says there's great blessing in persecution. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We're not only joyful, but we're exceedingly joyful, exceedingly happy when we're preaching. Not because we have a self-righteous attitude and we're going to call down fire from heaven or whatever, but we're just rejoicing in the things that, as far as the world's concerned, ought to bring sorrow and sadness and heartache. But that's where God says blessing. So there is a big difference between the biblical joy, the biblical happiness, and the earthly type of joy or happiness. Now, as far as the biblical joy, that's what we're talking about here in verse number 13. Happy is the man, joyful, blessed is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 13, our source of happiness. Our source of happiness, and by the way, our source of happiness, our source of fulfillment, is not knowledge. That's the world's solution, and that's sad to say, a lot of Christians. Well, we know this, and we think I understand the truth of 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that all have knowledge, but knowledge does what? Puffeth up. But charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Knowledge puffeth up. There's nothing more frustrating for a parent, for a pastor, or a teacher than a young person that thinks they got all the answers. And by the way, there's nothing more destructive than a young person that thinks to a young person than one that thinks that they have all the answers. Well, I'm pretty smart. I got it all figured. Yeah, you've got a lot of knowledge. But the rest of the verse says, you know nothing yet. Knowledge in itself causes more harm than good. Knowledge without wisdom and understanding. Now, God says, happy is the man, not that has knowledge, but that has what? Wisdom. And getteth understanding. Wisdom, as we've been defining in the book of Proverbs, of course, we add to our knowledge. We get knowledge first. That's important, but that's not the end. And our world solution to everything is education, knowledge. Fill people with knowledge. And knowledge is simply regurgitating facts. That's a good definition. That's a good way to remember it. You can tell me something, I can tell you back, so I got knowledge. But knowledge doesn't help much if you don't go to the next step. The next step is wisdom. Add to your knowledge wisdom. Wisdom is learning to see things through God's perspective. As far as the world's concerned, if you don't know the Lord, the best you can do for wisdom is see things through other people's perspective. And that's not bad, but that's not the best wisdom. The best wisdom is God's wisdom, learning to see things the way God sees them. Not just the way others, that's stepping outside of yourself. You see, knowledge is focusing on ourself. Well, I've got this. I am smart. I can do this. I've got the grades to prove it. Well, that doesn't prove anything except you're a smart fool. And there's a lot of smart fools around today. And notice the phrase in that verse, in verse number 3, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. He has knowledge, but then he finds wisdom. It's one thing to have knowledge, but it's best to find wisdom. Put knowledge in your head and find wisdom along the road of life. Now, we put knowledge in us. We have knowledge, but as you go down the road of life, and the only way to gain knowledge is to travel down. And knowledge doesn't come naturally to young people. It comes by traveling down the road a ways. The longer you travel down the road and learn things along the road and observe things along the road of life, so to speak, and fill your head and get some practical application of the Word of God, that's when you find wisdom. You learn knowledge, but you find wisdom. And then after wisdom comes what? Understanding. And the man that getteth understanding. And the wording there is important. We gain knowledge, which is earlier, and then we find wisdom along the road of life through experience. And then we get understanding. What is understanding? Understanding, we simply define it as knowing the mind of God. We know how God would react because when you know someone, you have a relationship with them, you know how they're going to react, respond to certain situations because you have a relationship with them. You've had experience in the past with them. You've walked with God, so you know how He's going to respond to certain things. Someone said, help me out with this. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing or expecting different results. Doing the same thing, but expecting different results. That's insanity. You try it, and you fall down. You try it again, and you fall down. That's the definition of insanity. The definition of understanding is knowing what the result or reaction will be each time we do something. I know that it worked before. I know it's going to work again. That's understanding. We know how someone responded in the past, and we know how they're going to respond this time. That's understanding. The devil has a lot of understanding of us. He's seen us fall in the past. And unless God changes our heart, he's going to continue to tempt us with that same thing that caused us to fall in the past. But understanding is knowing the mind of God, knowing how someone's going to react when you know them. And by the way, understanding only comes to somebody who's humble and has a real walk with Him, with God. And the longer we walk with Him, the more we get or gain understanding. And again, those things come with time. And isn't it? think back when I was a young person, I was a teenager, I thought I had all the answers. Huh? Remember when you thought Dad was such a fool? And then you realized, hey, Dad knew a whole lot more than I realized. And the sooner you learn that, the better off you are. There's the source, or the yeah, the source of happiness. And letter C, verse number 14 and 15, the value of happiness, the value of joy, of walking with God, not only having knowledge, but adding to our knowledge wisdom, adding to our wisdom understanding. There's a certain value to that, a great value to it. First of all, in verse number 14 through the first part of verse 15, for the merchandise of it, the value of it, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. What is? The joy of the Lord, the happiness that comes from walking with God, from gaining wisdom and understanding and having a real relationship with Him. It's greater than all the world's riches. Greater than all the world's riches. Better than the merchandise of silver. And greater than the finest gold. All the wealth in the world can't buy the joy that you have when you have a true relationship with Him. She's more precious than rubies. The most desirable thing is the happiness, the fulfillment of God's Word. Psalm 19, verse number 10, the verse I was thinking of, it talks about God's Word. And it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The Word of God is of great value. And the joy of the Lord, the happiness of being obedient to the Lord, not only knowing about Him, but having a relationship with Him, walking with Him, finding wisdom, getting understanding, brings us happiness. And the value of that happiness is something that money cannot buy. It's greater than all the everything that the world has to offer. In verse number 15, the last part of the verse, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. There's nothing in this world that's worthy of comparison to the happiness, the joy that God gives us. Again, talking of persecution, I think of a verse often that Paul talked about in Romans chapter number 8, and suffering for the cause of Christ. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The difficulties, the heartaches, the trials, and by the way, Paul had his share of persecution. He eventually was executed for his faith. He was stoned to death. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was abused. He was mocked. He was ridiculed for preaching the gospel, for walking with God. He said, there's no comparison to what the world can do and the joy that God gives us. And there's nothing that compares to the joy, the happiness that God gives us. And young people oftentimes are searching for things that will fill that void, something to live for, and there's nothing greater to live for than the Lord Jesus Christ. And no greater cause than to walk with Him and to gain not only knowledge of Him, but wisdom of Him and understanding of the ways of the Lord. And then letter D, the fruit of happiness. The fruit of happiness in verse number 16 through 18. Notice in verse, we've seen this phrase a couple of times in the book of Proverbs. In verse number 16, length of days is in her right hand. The fruit of happiness will give you a long and or a full life. We say long, not necessarily in the number of years that we live, but the fullness of life. And we've talked about that in other verses, that great promise of God who give fullness of life. He'll give longevity, not just not necessarily that you live to be an old man or an old lady, but that you'll the years that you have, you'll live them to their fullest. And you understand what that is. And certainly We watch some people because of their sour countenance, their bad attitude. But they make it, you know, sometimes you see people, and I could name people, but I don't want to name anybody that's here. People walk into the room and there's just like a cloud that comes in the room with them. And there's just like that spirit, that attitude, that darkness, or that bitterness that follows them everywhere they go. And of course, it's always somebody else. They're always looking at somebody else, but as soon as they leave the room lightens up again. You've known people like that. I want to be the other way. When we come in the room, when folks come into your presence, there's joy that they sense. There's a walk with God that they sense. There's something that's real in your life. There's fullness. There's energy. There's life. He promises a long and or a full life. In verse number 16, length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. We get lasting riches and honor. Boy, we could have some fun with that with a modern TV evangelist today, the prosperity gospel. Their left hand are riches and honor. Well, if we get the joy of the Lord and we have knowledge and wisdom and understanding, we're going to have all the money we need. No, we're going to learn to be content with what we have. And we're going to realize that we have riches that this world cannot buy. You know, you look at the lives of the rich and famous. I just heard somebody talking the other day, and you've certainly seen studies, you've heard stories in the past of somebody who wins the $1 million lottery, the multi-million dollar lottery. Look what happens to them. 9 times out of 10, it destroys their life, usually within a year, completely destroys them. Now, very rarely does someone manage that money, and even if they manage that money, they don't enjoy it like we think we would. There's just something about that. That riches, those things that we think that we want. But there's many things that this world cannot give you that money cannot buy. Money cannot buy children that grow up to be adults that love the Lord Jesus Christ. Money cannot buy the joy and the presence of the Lord at the time of death. No matter how wealthy someone is, that can't stop them from dying. That can't stop the darkness of depression in their life. God can give us things that money. God will give us not earthly riches, but lasting riches and honor. Things that money can never purchase. Walking with God will give you the happiness, the joy, the thrill of being saved. And then in verse number 17, her ways are ways of plenteousness, and all her paths are peace. Pleasantness or pleasant and peaceful spirit. A truly happy person is a delight to be around. They're not always looking for the next buck, finding out how they can take advantage of someone, and living with the regret of what they've done and neglect of those around them. But a truly happy person is walking in peace and harmony with those around them. Even their enemies are at peace. We're at peace even with our enemies when we're truly walking with God. God will give us a life of pleasantness and peace when we're truly walking in His joy, and His presence is our delight. Verse number 18, I like this. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. She's a life of giving to others. The picture, if you will, a fruit tree. I remember when I was a kid, we, along the road that we lived in, it's all cleared. You know, all farmers have cleared out all the fence rows, and then there was a fence row across the road, and on that fence row, there were wild plum trees. Anybody here like plums? Wild plums sometimes are pretty bitter. But if it's a rainy year like it's been this year so far, And you'd bite into one of those plums, you'd think, oh, that's a plum that you got off a shelf at, of course, there wasn't Walmart back then, at Piggly Wiggly. At the Piggly Wiggly, you got that plum off there. I mean, that was sweet and juicy. And of course, when we were kids, we were out playing all day. You didn't have time to come home and eat. You just found things to eat outside and find berries or whatever, or frogs or worms or cats, or I don't know, you can find things to worm to eat. And but those plums were good. And those berries, I mean, that was life-giving, energy-giving, better than any old candy bar could give you. That natural energy, that natural sugar, and it's life-giving. And somebody who's truly has the joy, the happiness, the presence of their Lord in their life, they're life-giving to others. They offer that fruit to all who pass by and can freely take of it. You don't have to pay any taxes on it. It doesn't belong to anybody. It's just there for you. And there's the picture given, the fruit of happiness as enjoyed by everybody around us when we're truly walking with God. I spend some time with kids in our community, and I think of this often. I just drove a bus the other day, and I mentioned this to kids. I think they need to hear it again. Sooner or later, it'll sink in. I was telling somebody the other day, I'd much rather drive a school bus than a church bus. Here comes the school bus right now. The prison bus. No, I don't know. The kids, they get off the school bus, and almost every one of them, thank you for driving today. You know, you drive kids home from church, or you see kids walking into church, you say, good morning, hello, and they kind of give you a, maybe even that. You know, those public school heathen kids do better than that. They show more joy and gratitude than sometimes our Christian young people do. All right, listen to me, teenagers. We ought to work on that. There's something life-giving. And I'm not old yet. I was at a nursing home today, and those folks were old. And I was talking about somebody, and anybody who's younger than me is a young person. Age is relative all the time. And it keeps the young people keep getting older. I don't know what it is about that. Us old folks, if you want to call us that, there's something more attractive than you'll ever know as a teenager to a young, there's nothing more attractive, more encouraging to an older person than to see a young person that shows gratitude and joy in their life, in their countenance, in their behavior. And I think that's something that our young people need to hear from time to time. There's a life-giving source. It's a source of life to others. It's a fruit of happiness, of walking in the presence of the Lord. And then the rewards of happiness. In letter, in verse number 18, she's a tree of life to all that lay hold on her. A life-giving source to everyone that comes around. And happy is everyone that retaineth her, that holds on to her. The rewards and happiness are never exhausted. When we walk with God and we enjoy the presence of the Lord, if you walk with God for a number of years, you know that every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before, right? We sing that in the song. And when we know the joy of the Lord, when we're filled with the happiness of the presence of the Lord, when we look at things with a positive outlook, each step gets brighter along the way. It's truly, I guess to borrow a cliche statement, it's a gift that keeps on giving. When we know the happiness and the joy of the Lord, the more we know that joy, each step has a little bit more joy to it. And the closer we get to Him, the more joy we feel in His presence, and the more happiness and blessedness we find in Him. Those are the fruit of happiness. So as we memorize this section of Scripture, Keep in mind, we're looking first of all at the Bible, of hearing the Lord. Secondly, prayer, trusting the Lord. And then worship, honoring the Lord. And happiness, enjoying the presence of the Lord. And we'll give you one more section next week and encourage you to work on. And well, that's something special if anybody's brave enough to get up in front of the whole group on King's Kids Awards night. This is our final exam. If you can get up and quote Proverbs 3, verse number, where we start at? Verse number 1, verse number 26. I don't know, we'll give you all the leftover pizza you can eat from the kids' pizza party or something. Garrett would like that. It's worth it, right? We'll work on it. That's a little incentive for him. Let's